Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
She must be a very good student. Yeah. Said in the
class president. Yeah. So one thing I think is with that climate, they actually can go later into the summer versus what happens here in the Southeast and the Mid-Atlantic, where temperatures are such that it's you can't really keep kids in school because the cost becomes so prohibitive.
Right.
What's interesting is Jack Nicklaus said that he basically paid enough money at his kid's private school that he got them to change the graduation date.
Nice.
For all of his kids, because he's got like six kids.
Right. Who says money doesn't make you happy?
Yeah. So...
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
Either plausibly live or actually live, depending on how your participation works. We're on the air at Chatter. Our signs are good. Barry Zwerluga liked the sign. Tori Clark likes the signs. We're at the corner of Wisconsin Avenue Northwest and Jennifer Street Northwest, about a block and a half inside the district line. One of our Cliffies, one of our interns from PTI, Matt showed up today. I don't actually call him. I just call him Cliffy. I call them all Cliffy. It's just easier that way. Yeah. Boys and girls are Cliffy. He showed up today to be an intern here, which makes me very happy. It's double duty internship. Michael Kornheiser is also here with Tori and Barry. Nigel's going to run the board and do news. I wanted to start. I have a note here. We're invited to a wedding between Sarah Van Evera and Romel Hock. And it says, Dear Dr. Porthauser, attaches an invite for you and the gang. So everybody's invited for my wedding, taking place next year in the Dominican Republic. I'm a loyal millennial little from Brooklyn via California and a PTI follower. The woman to whom I will soon be related by marriage has never listened to the podcast with the bald orange man, but allowed me to send an invite to the person who brought La Cheeserie Nation into her life, a story she loves. Tori, you have a La Cheeserie story, do you not?
I do. I was in a Safeway recently, a lovely Safeway, minding my own business, rummaging around a big container looking for some mozzarella cheese.
Yeah.
I hear a voice behind me go, it's no La Cheeserie, is it? And I turn around, it's a perfect stranger. La Cheeserie is everywhere.
It is. We also, from Neil in Rockville, he dropped stuff off before trivia last night for you in the gift closet. And he has fruit slices, which I like, though I don't like watermelon slices. But these seem to be good. And he has matzo ball mix. So we will be giving that out later, because that's what we do here.
And can I point out about Barry's large drink from Starbucks here? You probably paid about $15 for that on your way here.
That's, I think, $3.84.
You go to Starbucks and you pay inflated amounts for your drink, and they ask you what your name is, so they put it on the side of the cup, and they've written Barry says B-E-R-R-Y.
Barry?
Yeah.
Barry?
As in blue.
Not Barry?
It's like Barry White.
My daughter would... She thinks my first name should be Straw or Rass.
We have coffee here at Chatter.
It's good.
I know old habits die hard. But
they do die hard.
By the way, the socialite walking by us right now, the socialite
will descend
into Chatter from the street, because the socialite wants to have a meeting with me and Michael.
He looks serious.
Show. Yeah, he's. This could be deadly.
Well, the doors in his hand.
Deadly.
He's got big books under his arm.
So here's what I wanted to say. So I'm watching the Channel 4 news. I know this is local. It drives my son crazy that I'm going local early.
Well, this might become national sooner than later.
I'm watching the Channel 4 news today, and at the end, at 4 minutes to 7, because you have 3 full minutes of commercials before you get into the Today Show, they're not sitting at the desk anymore. The new choreography is that they're standing.
Mm-hmm.
There are the two anchors who were replacement anchors today, and the two weather people and the traffic person. So that's the regulars would be Melissa Mollet, who does the traffic, Sheena Parveen, and Chuck Forecast For You Bell. All right? They're standing now. I think we know why they're standing. Right?
Chuck looks great in a suit, doesn't he?
Be careful.
I'm just saying
Be careful.
I'm just saying that. That's all I'm saying.
I think it's to connote action and energy.
Really? Somebody made this decision.
I'm
just
trying
put
to
it that
save
way.
You.
Absolutely. They
I am
sat
trying to
for
save
years.
You.
They sat for years, and now they're standing. I'm not revealing my intent here, but I think we know. And by the way, Tom Kierine now. Nigel informs me today
Happy
that Tom
trails.
Kierine has announced his retirement.
Yes, after 34 years, he will retire on June 22nd.
Wow.
We should do something about that.
Says he's going to spend a lot of time in Alaska.
Really?
Oh, he wants to drive across the country and head up to Glacier.
Alaska?
Well, I think that's a part of his
vacation
plan.
I think you have to leave this country to get to Alaska. I think you have to go through Canada if you're going to drive.
Or Russia.
I guess he's moving.
Right.
He's moving to
Sarah Palin's house where you can see Russia.
Says he's moving to Colorado. I want to explore the West using Colorado as my base, an epic road trip from Colorado, venturing 3,500 miles to Alaska, where he wants to take the Alaska Highway all the way to Point Barrow above the Arctic Circle.
God bless him. Yeah. Do it in the summer.
Yes, don't, I would recommend
because
that.
Because it's the Donner Party situation if you attempt to do this in the winter. So speaking of ice, I watched some hockey last night.
Oh, and don't,
I
don't, me too. Don't.
I watched at 1-1. Nashville scored, and then Sidney Crosby made a great goal. And I woke up not knowing who won, and Nashville won. And this is in, you know, this is instructive in case you think that Golden State is going to sweep Cleveland. Just remember that when they move, what you're looking at me.
Well, the Penguins are not the Warriors. I mean, the Penguins aren't the, you know, they aren't the heavy favorite that the Warriors were. So I don't know that the analogy works, but anyway.
But I'm just saying, as a cautionary note, you might want to think that it's conceivable, it's possible that Cleveland can win both of these games and make it into a series. So that the reason I watched was not that. I was there 20 minutes before the game started because I wanted to see the national anthem. Because I'm told that in Nashville, what they do is they have the greatest country singers in the world sing the national anthem. And I assume, much like the standing at Channel 4, I assume that they specifically pick maybe a game one, a game two, a game seven, you know, that they have a rotation.
Hierarchy.
Like, I'm gonna think that game seven is going to be Carrie Underwood because her husband is the captain of the Nashville Predators, Mike Fisher, and I'm going to think that if they get to seven, it's going to be Carrie Underwood. But last night was Dirk. The first night was Martina McBride, and last night was Dierks Bentley. Michael, did you watch this by any chance?
I did not, but I know Dierks Bentley.
Yes, you like country music. I was surprised. Did you see it, Barry?
I saw the game. No. I didn't see the anthem.
So I'm the only one. I'm the only one. Okay, I don't know Dierks Bentley as a singer, though I know he's a famous singer, very accomplished. He sang a very, I felt, low-key national anthem, a very soft national anthem. He wasn't belting it out, and I was sort of surprised by that.
Because you think the big arena country stars are going to use that platform to get the crowd into a frenzy type
of thing? Yeah, that's what I would think. I mean, because everybody talks about that, about how important that is.
I would say Dierks Bentley is definitely more of a songwriter than a big belter.
And he's kind of a low-key guy.
Yeah, I think that's his persona. Yeah. I think what you would not know is that a lot of these country singers are basically just, you know, personas that Nashville has produced to sound a certain way. And they're really not good singers. Many of them are not.
I thought they were all great singers. Yeah. They're not.
They get out there and they sing about pickup trucks and red solo cups and
country fair,
cut off shorts.
And what's
all
wrong
the songs
with that?
Are the same?
Yeah,
no, they're terrible songs.
I like them. Really?
No.
Does Barry know our favorite? How many does it take to screw in a light bulb? Jokes.
I don't know that.
How many country western singers does it take to screw in a light bulb? Michael, do you remember?
I do not. This sounds like a trivia question.
It does. 17, one to screw it in, and 16 to sing about how sad it is that the old one's gone.
That makes sense. Yes.
I like that kind of music. Yeah. You don't like that?
No, I mean, I like other Nashville music that is probably a little more under the radar, as it gets more popular.
Can we agree that Nashville is very cool?
Great
Nashville
city.
Is great.
I mean, it has a wonderful university in Vanderbilt.
Yep.
It has some lovely golf courses, which is,
great
of course,
town.
How I measure
great food.
Cities. You can walk down whatever that main street is, and every single door that you come to is another bar where somebody really good is singing.
Absolutely.
Really good.
Yeah.
So when we did Monday Night Football there, I'd never been to Nashville, and I really liked it. And I don't want to live there because Rex Ryan lives there. I just think it's a mistake to be anywhere Rex Ryan might live. You know,
if you ever go to the Country Music Hall of Fame, which is fabulous.
So you like it. Michael, you've been there, right?
I have.
What do you think?
The only knock is that you need a car to get around. I think that's tough.
Or Uber.
Well, today changes that a little bit, but yes, you do need a car service.
Nigel, have you been to Nashville?
I may have a long time ago.
And you don't remember?
No, I went for a wedding, so I didn't really get to experience the town the way I would like
to.
But I hear nothing but great things, the food and the music. It sort of reminds me of the music. When you get down to New Orleans, every single place you walk by, there's just a fantastic band or music playing.
New Orleans is better.
Well,
I mean, New Orleans has even better food.
Yes.
Everything in New Orleans is better. But Nashville's very good. Nashville's one of those places where you go, I didn't know.
Right.
I had no idea. Nashville's good. We had some people come up here from Nashville who sang. Remember, she sent us music last week?
Oh, yes, that's right, yes.
And she's trying to make it. Yes, she's trying to make it as a singer. So the other small sports story, I mean, I think it's a big story. We're going to have Bill Livingston on later, and Livingston, I'm sure, will talk about this because you know, this is an Ohio, it's Ohio State. Thad Matta got fired. I was surprised. He's sneaky young. He's only 49.
Right.
He's been the coach at Ohio State for 12 or 13 years,
I think.
He's got a fabulous winning percentage. His in-conference winning percentage is the highest ever for a Big Ten coach who's had more than 10 years. It's higher than Bobby Knight. It's higher than Tom Izzo. It's higher than Bo Ryan. It's like he went to the Final Four twice, and this year he was 17, and he's out.
This is the only year he didn't win 20 games at Ohio State, and so he's out. Now, there's some weird health issues, too.
He's got strange nerve damage in his feet are bad.
Yeah.
But they're not as bad as Shaquille O'Neal's feet, if you've
and
seen those.
And he's not playing.
Right.
So I was definitely surprised yesterday.
And he showed up at a press conference happy.
And now...
What?
Well, right. It's also mid-June, and one of the better jobs in college basketball is wide open. I mean, I almost texted Gary Williams last night and said,
"Go
do you want to get back into it?"
Go back.
He as much as he.
Well, we don't need him here. He can check up on the restaurant daily. We'll call him. He wants to get back.
As much as he loved Maryland and pulled his alma mater out of the depths, that job at Ohio State was a great job, and his daughter and
his grandchildren lived there.
Yeah, absolutely.
So he's only 49 now. Is that what you just said?
It's only 49.
He was a baby when he got the job.
He looks much. I thought he was much older than that. Wow. That's a big time job.
Yeah.
In the Big Ten, Indiana and Ohio State get open in the same period of time is just amazing to me.
Yeah.
These are huge jobs, and he shows up at a press conference with the athletic director who has fired him.
Right.
Who has, and in fact, I think humiliated him. In the way that it is said, well, we thought it was going to work out, but it's not going to work out, so I had to do this. And he shows up and he says, these are the greatest years of my life. And you think, what parallel universe are we in that Thad Matta feels this way?
You don't feel like, I mean, Matta, it seems like to me, handled himself with extreme class.
And yes,
if anybody,
he did.
He came
get another
off,
job.
You know, yeah, exactly. If he wants to
he could,
do this
you know
again.
What he could get? He could get the Ohio State job because it's open.
I mean, it's the only one that's open. Yeah. It's the only one that's open.
You don't understand it.
I don't understand. I mean, I don't know that situation intimately, but I don't understand the firing, and I especially don't understand the timing.
Apparently, he hadn't recruited well.
Yeah, so we're going to...
But recruiting... I can quote a famous college basketball coach whose name will go unmentioned at this point, who says you can pay somebody $100 who'll say that he's a recruiting expert and he'll rank you in the top five if you want.
That's probably right.
And you don't know till they throw out the basketballs. You have no idea. I mean, it's harder in football. You really don't know in football. But in basketball, you don't know. You don't know how it works.
But
if they can play with the other players, right. You don't know.
But the other thing that happens with basketball recruiting is one or two players have such a huge impact on the entire program. It's not like football where you need a critical mass.
One or two players who were great are leaving in a year.
Right.
They just had D'Angelo Russell. He let the great players leave in a year. Duke now specializes in great players who leave in a year.
And it sours the way that you feel about the program.
Yeah. You know, it's just... Anyway, all right, we will take a break. We'll come back. We will indeed have Bill Livingston of the Cleveland Plain Dealer. I am Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is a SeatGeek ad. Buying tickets to sports and concerts can be complicated. You know, sports and concerts, they sort of merge in Nashville.
Oh, right.
Because you do get the country western singers to sing, and then you have a hockey game, and then you also have Catfish being flung onto the ice. Two big ones last night. I was watching. Two big ones. There's a better, simpler way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get live tickets to live events. With SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just two taps of your phone. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices. Fully guaranteed, there's nothing quite like seeing your favorite team or musician, and you can do both in Nashville in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And to get you the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Plus, every ticket, every purchase, fully guaranteed. You can shop on SeatGeek with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. And best of all, listeners to this high-quality podcast get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app, enter the promo code TONY today. That is promo code TONY for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Got my gear, double humbuckers and strings.
This is Tim Scott in Anchorage, Alaska, who writes, I've always appreciated your smart conversations with regard to political commentary. I've been in an Alaskan rock band many years. All the other members of the band are as far left of center as I am right. We agree that the best way to have civil political discourse is to have friends on the other side of the aisle. My writing partner, Steve Lillard, moved back home to Virginia 6 years ago, and to keep things going, I fly to the Eastern Shore twice a year to record. This is off our latest album, Youth. The song is for old guy entrepreneurs gambling with their kids' inheritance. It's called Playing for No Money. Nine of our albums can be found at www.lovepuppets.com. And, of course, all the regular digital outlets. Thanks for the laughs and the smart talk. Tim Scott, Anchorage, Alaska. Playing Bill Livingston, my friend of many, many years at the Cleveland Plain Dealer. There are two big stories that Bill can address. One is the bizarre, at least, and my word, the bizarre firing of Thad Matta at Ohio State. And the other is the state of the series between Cleveland and Golden State, which probably takes precedence in the minds of the listeners across the country. So we'll start with that. It's 2-0. I would remind you, of course, that it was 2-0 in favor of the Pittsburgh Penguins till they went back to Nashville, and now it's 2-2. How do you see this series right now, Bill?
Where's Bill?
Where's Bill?
He doesn't see it.
Where is Bill? Oh, Nigel's going to have to call back. And Bill would have missed everything I said, right? This is possible.
That was a great open, though.
We can vamp for a while as we try and get Livy back. I mean, I did a good job
you
on
really
that.
Really did a good job.
The signs
Scott.
Are looking great. I know everybody's
the chatter
been
signs
the
are good.
Signs look great.
As Nigel scrambles to get Bill Livingston on the phone. What are you doing?
Well,
do you have him?
Scrambling.
You don't have a dial tone. Wow. So we're going to have to not do this.
It's a real phone.
But you know what the great part of this is? This stays in the show.
Exactly. Yes, we could easily
why
cut
it?
This.
Yeah.
I just like the phone he's using. I haven't seen one of those for 20 years.
It's the old kitchen
the rotary.
Phone.
Yeah. Well, I don't understand. You called him before. Speak to us. Speak to us while you do. Do two things at once. You
well,
talked to him before.
Yes,
what happened?
I did.
Let's
I
throw stuff at him.
With the phone.
And now you don't have a dial tone at all?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay. So this is impossible. So we're going to deal. We're going to just leave it.
We could pretend what he might say.
I've got it now.
No, you got it.
Now he's got it.
You got
he's,
a phone. Where'd you get
now.
That phone? At like a Walmart in
I did not get this phone.
In Argentina? It doesn't work.
No. I think this is the phone that used to be in our kitchen.
It's a terrible phone.
I love phones like that. Well, who gave us this phone?
Is this one of those phones where you call the center of the town and,
yes.
and
you get an
the
operator.
Woman, the nice
Say
woman,
Ellie
hooks
May.
You up with
get
yeah,
an
exactly.
operator. Do you have Livy?
I do.
Okay, so, yeah. Bill, are you there? We got cut off for like 4 minutes because our phone didn't work.
I don't know what happened.
All right, so let me go to this whole intro again, and it said there are all two right. the two big stories that you can talk about are Thad Matta and the state of right. the series, and I reminded you, because you didn't hear me, that that Pittsburgh was up 2-0, and now after Nashville won 2, that
this
series
is
tied. So we get back right. to the original question, which is how do you view the state of the series right now with Cleveland and Golden State?
You want me to talk now?
Yeah, you're on. We're on. We don't stop. We don't stop. No, we don't.
Okay. How do I view the series?
Yeah.
I view Golden State as everything they were cracked up to be, and maybe even more. I think they, you know, right now, they certainly look like the best team since the Jordan Bulls. They won 73 games last year. It was a miraculous thing that the Cavaliers won the NBA championship against them. It took Green getting suspended, and Curry was not at 100%, and Bogut getting hurt. And I fully understand. I don't want to really hear that either after the Cavaliers Irving and Love the year before with LeBron and four role players. But it did take a lot, and it took three of the greatest plays in Cleveland sports history, all in the last couple of minutes of Game 7, the
That's
swat,
right.
the shot, the stop, to win that game. And then they added Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
Of course they're favored. And of course they're a great team. And I don't really know what the Cavs do other than try to slow it down, which I don't think Lou wants to do. But David Blatt won two games with LeBron and four role players against the non-Durant Warriors by doing that. The first game, the Warriors had four turnovers and just played an immaculate floor game, and the Cavs had no chance. The second game, the Warriors made the 20 turnovers that the Cavs made in the first game, and they shot their way over through it. by making way more threes than the Cavaliers did. You know, LeBron's averaging a triple-double in two games, and the Cavs haven't had a chance in either one.
Now,
they play a lot better. They will play a lot better at the Q. It'll be crazy. Both cities have great fan bases. But, you know, we'll see. I mean, this team is even better than I thought they were, the Warriors.
This is you mentioned Tyronn Lue, who is at least nominally the coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers, because it's LeBron's team. He's the coach. He's the GM. He's the best player. He's everything but the owner. Does Tyronn Lue have any influence on LeBron? Because it seemed to me that during the year, what Cleveland wanted to be, with the way they shot threes, they wanted to be Golden State, and I don't know that they can slow it down and win that way. I don't know how you convince LeBron that's going to work. Who has influence here?
Well, actually, it's pronounced Tyronn, although everyone calls him Ty, because it's T-Y-R-O-N-N. I remember writing that last year when he came in as coach in midseason and said, we want to play faster. And I said, isn't that like leaning into a hook if you have to play Golden State, if you were a boxer?
Yeah.
But they did, you know, they made 25 threes in one game. I don't really think you want to play a man that is at his own game, you know, and that's the old thing. You know, Mark Twain said, if a guy tells you that the Ace of Spades will spit tobacco juice in your ear, don't bet him on it.
Right, that's right.
You know, so I just think I think slowing it down is their only chance. And I don't know whether Lue wants to do that. I assume LeBron will want to do whatever works. But, you know, the bench is not playing that well. J.R. Smith scored as many points as I did.
Zero. Zero.
Kyrie, they cannot win without Kyrie Irving being the explosive scorer he was last year. He's never been a real good defender. And he got 19 points, but he took 23 shots, and he just looked lost at both ends of the court in game two. Oh. And Love and LeBron were playing great.
Yeah, I want to get to that one play where Steph Curry dribbled around and around and around and finally made a layup.
Yeah.
Last year, LeBron blocked that and had some choice words.
He blocked his shot in game six and then talked trash to him afterwards.
Exactly.
And he had four different course reversals on that play and got to the rim and made a terrific layup. And, you know, it was just kind of part of the continuing story of the revenge of the Warriors, the comeuppance of the Cavs. They had a much stronger emotional edge coming into this series because they lost last year, and they thought they never should have. And they don't only want to beat the Cavaliers. They want to grind the Cavaliers to dust.
Well, who did we have on the air who said that it was Brian Windhorst who would know these things because he's from that area? He said that Mike Brown in particular hates Cleveland and would like nothing more than to pulverize the team, but he won't say that publicly. Is that your sense about him and Golden State?
Yeah, I think that's human nature.
Yeah.
Mike Brown was humiliated by being fired after 1 year here, but he was also fired quickly in L.A.
Yes.
But he was especially humiliated by LeBron in that tacky leaving. As we've talked, LeBron didn't play all that well in his last series against Boston and LeBron 1.0 here. And in game six, they were, I think, nine down with a minute to play. And it's not going to happen. You know, Boston's not going to miss all its free throws, and you're not going to hit a bunch of threes and somehow to win or force overtime. But for a couple of possessions, you have to play out the math and foul and see what happens because it's an elimination game. And Mike jumped off the bench yelling, foul him, foul him. And LeBron waved him to go sit down. And they just let the clock run out. And that was a humiliating thing for a coach to undergo.
So in that context, do you think that LeBron, who is, as far as I'm concerned, the best player in basketball, even if Kevin Durant has a great two games, I'm not going to change my opinion on that yet. Do you think LeBron was embarrassed by that Steph Curry play?
Probably because athletes are so proud, especially someone like him. But, you know, Tony, he's not – only a guy like LeBron is capable of being embarrassed by Curry doing that because he's a 6'8", 250-pound guy who's not supposed to be able to stay with a more nimble guard. Look at what Irving was doing to Festus Ezeli and Bogut before he got hurt last year. He's not supposed to be able to stay with him, but because he's LeBron James, people expect him to.
And he tried. He tried.
Yeah. He made him work for it. And Curry's one behind. I think Irving is the best ball handler in the league.
Yes.
I don't think it was anything embarrassing to LeBron. It's body type and skill set, but, you know, people expect LeBron to just be Superman all the time.
Well, as you say, J.R. Smith has contributed zero.
You know, you have to give something to the other team. And I don't like Curry the way he preens, but I'm giving him props on that.
Look, the other team's really good. And that leads me to this question. If Cleveland loses, LeBron will be 3-5 in finals. Now, that's not a good record. And yet, I'm telling you, I believe he's the best player in basketball. Will that be meaningful to people other than Michael? Wilbon will use that to say that he's not Michael Jordan. Wilbon's entire life is based on denying comparisons between Michael Jordan and LeBron.
I'm aware of that.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Like, because he says if they get swept, Michael Jordan never got swept. And it just stopped.
You know what? Michael Jordan never played some of the caliber of teams that LeBron has had to play in the finals. Well, they really didn't. They played Portland, which hadn't been in since the Walton teams. They played Utah, which had never been there. They had Seattle, which hadn't been there since Lenny Wilkins was the coach, and downtown Freddie Brown was there. They played the Lakers when Magic was old and was going to have to retire the next year because he had HIV, although people didn't know it then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they didn't play anybody like the 73-win Warriors or the 67-win Warriors with no help, with just role players the year before. Or Popovich's Spurs teams. They didn't play them in the finals. It's a fact. But, you know, the six rings is always going to be the thing that LeBron's not ever going to be able to trump that. Not ever going to be able to match that. But I will say I think he has played Oklahoma City, no. That was a team that was there the first time. Dallas, probably no. But the rest of the time, especially with the 07 Cavs, they were just totally overmatched against San Antonio. He's played great teams in the finals.
Yeah, I think that's true. All right, I'm going to shift gears to Thad Matta, who, and I watched this morning, actually sat there for a press conference and said, this is the greatest times of my life the last 13 years. The guy had one bad year. I mean, he went to the Final Four twice. He has the highest percentage of wins inside the Big Ten of any coach ever there for 10 or more seasons, including Bobby Knight and Tom Izzo, who are great, 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 great coaches. Why did they fire this guy?
Well, they had more than one bad year. They haven't. The last time they, you know, I thought it was time for Thad to go.
Really?
I think it was. I wanted him to be able to go on his own terms, and to some extent, I think he did. It was kind of a mutual agreement that he was going to go, but they had not recruited well. They made some terrible misses. They missed on Trey Burke, who played in Columbus kid, who played with Jared Sullinger on the same high school team. They took Charlie Scott's kid, Shannon Scott. Trey Burke goes to Michigan, the arch rival. They go to the championship game. They had kids leaving. They had, you know, they were the first to profit from the one and done rule with the Conley Oden team.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Calipari at a real basketball school and Coach K, although nobody wants to mention that about Duke, came along and took the same pattern and just, you know, won national championships with it. He was a victim of also the most, something that will never occur again, probably, a great team that came back to defend. The Florida team with Billy Donovan and Noah and Horford and those guys. And to some extent, that was because certainly Noah and Horford were sons of pro athletes and their families didn't need the money to go to the NBA like a lot of players do. But, you know, he won 20 games right away. They beat Illinois. They were the only team to beat Illinois his very first year until North Carolina beat him in the national championship game, in a game that may be invalidated by the academic scandal at North Carolina. They went to two Final Fours. They went to one championship game. It was the greatest era since way back. Fred Taylor with Jerry Lucas and Havlicek and Bob Knight off the bench. But the program was on the way downhill. They were losing off seasons. They weren't recruiting well. They didn't even make the NIT this year. The year before, they were lucky to beat Akron in overtime in the NIT. They lost to Dayton, which is a thing that, you know, Ohio State doesn't lose to in-state schools, although UD and Xavier and Cincinnati are all good. They lost in the tournament in the first round to Dayton. It was just, you know, the spiral was going down.
Archie Miller seems like, had he not had the job, it's amazing to me that Ohio State and Indiana opened in the same year. These are very, very big jobs. Archie Miller would have been the natural fit, right, instead of going to Indiana.
Well, yeah, but it's, you know, I remember this from from my alma mater, C.M. Newton was one of the better coaches at Vanderbilt. And when he wanted to retire, he was going to retire after coaching in Alabama. And Knight said, C.M., you owe it to yourself to coach before you retire to coach at a basketball school. And the Vanderbilt job came open, and he went there and had success. You know, you're always, always, always going to be in the shadow of the monster that is Ohio State football there.
Sure.
And that didn't bother Mata. He was a man at ease with himself. I liked him a great deal personally, and his overall record is stellar. But I thought it was time for him to go.
Ooh, I wouldn't, but you're closer to it. Thanks, Livy. Enjoy the next few
All
games.
Right.
Bill Livingston, boys and girls, of the Cleveland Plain Dealer, who I've known forever and ever, and went to Vanderbilt.
Is there any detail he doesn't know?
He knows all this stuff.
That's amazing.
Yeah, well, that's the job.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just, you're actually supposed to know this stuff. We're going to take a break. We will return with news. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is sent in by Brian Abbott in Silver Spring, Maryland, who writes, longtime listener, second-time emailer. The singer to whom I'm related by band asked me to send you this song he wrote about the Wizards. When I told him about your new podcast, now you played listener's music, he said we should send in the song about the Wizards. We have a song about the Wizards, I asked. I had no idea. In my defense, all his songs are melancholy, broken heart stuff. How was I supposed to know one of them wasn't about a girl? Our band's name is Clone of Clones. The song is To Fall. And he said, I'd always thought it'd be nice to go to a bar called the gym. People would think I had a healthy lifestyle. The gym came in second to Chatter. Michael, tell people how they can send in music, which you can hear in full at the end of every podcast.
You can email it to jingles@tonykornheisershow.com. I was sort of hoping this song would be about game six of that Boston series to celebrate that Wizards, you know, stunning victory.
When John Wall jumped up and said, look, I won game six.
Yeah.
Not thinking that perhaps there was a game seven that they would lose by 55
points. You can't take
points.
That game six away from him.
No, you
that
can't.
That three-pointer.
Yeah, but how about game seven? How about the last 19 minutes of that, Barry?
I don't have a problem with him in the biggest moment of his career celebrating that.
It's game six.
Fine.
There is a game seven.
Yes, there was a game seven.
How did he
do? It didn't go as well.
It did not. So people can send in music.
Yes, send it to jingles@tonykornheiser.com.
And as I look around, Michael is wearing Johnny O. I am wearing Johnny O.
I have two at home. I didn't wear it today. I thought I would skip the uniform.
Do you have Johnny? Did we give Brian Johnny O?
Not Brian, but as Michael knows, our son Charlie, who will have a birthday soon, doesn't know this, and he will never listen to this podcast.
So it doesn't matter.
So there are several things in the closet
Johnny
waiting
O
to
stuff.
Be wrapped for
they
his
are
birthday.
Great
It's
shirts.
Really nice.
I'm not even
up.
Kidding. Like. Great
yes,
shirts.
They are. Michael, tell the people what they can do for Father's Day, the special promotion for Father's Day.
We still have the code Dr.
By the way,
Tony.
Cliffy's dad has a Johnny O shirt. I
Very
made sure
nice.
He got it.
There you go. So check out the Redondo Polo, the Atwater Polo, and Tony's new favorite golf short, the Mulligan short.
Right. And how do they get the code?
Well, I just gave them the code.
Do it
they
again.
Can
I forgot. I'm old.
Dr. Tony.
That's
again, Dr. Tony.
And that's D-R, Tony, right?
D-R-T-O-N-Y.
Dominican Republic, Tony. Oh, D-R. That's what they call it, the D-R.
Yeah,
the
D-R.
So go ahead, Nigel, you have news.
I do indeed, Mr. Tony. We'll start off in Los...
Ooh, I'm just looking at the Today Show where the headline is Grilled Meat and Cancer.
I'm dead.
What you need to
news.
Know to reduce the
that's
risk.
It.
What?
Seems to be
old
what?
News.
That's it.
What?
Yeah, there you go.
Who doesn't
just
like
in time for
meat?
July 4th, right?
Yeah, go ahead.
We'll go out to Los Angeles, Mr. Tony, where the Washington Nationals open up their series with the Dodgers. And all this worrying and fretting about the bullpen, they had three scoreless innings, held onto the lead, and they win 4-2 last night after a nice outing by Gio Gonzalez, who's now 5-1 on the year.
I mean, I know Barry's here, so we can chat about this, however, briefly. The Nats starters are great.
They're great.
They're great this year. Gio's having that 20-game year.
No, Gio's not going to win 20 games.
But he's
pitching well. He's pitching well, and he's
Roark
not driving
is pitching
you
well.
Insane.
As long as Joe Ross doesn't get in the game, the Nats starters
so,
are great.
Yes, that's right. I mean, I've written about this before, and I think we've talked about it. The bullpen issues that we're going to talk about all summer, the concern is that because it's tenuous when every time you go and that bullpen gate swings open, that Dusty Baker, who has a history of relying on his starters for a long time, is going to push them and push them and push them.
That's right.
But last night, actually, Oliver Perez got the last out for the save. They didn't go to Glover after Sunday's adventure. And wow.
Claimed soreness.
Yeah,
might have been the ego.
There was somebody at this table who felt that that was a tremendous mistake on the part of the manager to put him out there in the ninth.
That's
Glover.
That's what I thought. I mean, I was.
So there's two of you at this
table. I thought that Jacob Turner should have gotten the ninth once it goes. You know, it's an 11-5 game.
11-4. 11-4.
Yeah, so I kind of felt like, okay, hey, you save your bullets for Los Angeles. You've got a blowout game. Jacob Turner 100%. Or somebody can get these outs. And I would say the manager almost created an issue there where none needed to be created.
By the way, what is this Peter Gammons report that Bryce Harper wants to go to the Cubs?
I don't know. Peter Gammons obviously is as respected a baseball journalist as there is.
Wilbon ecstatic, even though he's been rapping Harper for 5 years. Not as good as Chris Bryant, not as good as Dansby Swanson. He says, first wow, if he comes here, you're dead. Dead.
If they get Harper, that starts a new curse.
Yeah. He's better than either of those players.
Well, and Wilbon.
Wilbon, right, exactly.
Yes.
So I don't know what that is. My stance on this is... we're a little bit putting the cart before the horse here. He's got two seasons in which they could do very big things in Washington, and I don't know. I get a little uneasy about. I mean, this is a guy I know. I get a little bit easy about he's out the door before these next two seasons play out.
Okay.
So, Mr. Tony,
but they won the game, and then
they did.
Allegedly,
Scherzer pitches today.
Well, and tomorrow, allegedly.
What's the weather like out there?
Strasburg against
gonna be sunny.
Kershaw.
It's LA.
Allegedly.
It's gonna be Strasburg. Strasburg Kershaw. I mean, that's perfect.
You think it happens?
Why wouldn't it?
Well, because it hasn't ever before.
It was scheduled for last year.
Yeah, somebody comes up
late
with a
scratch.
Bad. Yeah, my neck, my arm.
It'll happen. Bad it'll happen. Yeah.
And it's an afternoon game, so you can watch it.
Yes, fantastic. It's perfect. It's perfect.
Okay. Mr. Tony, there's been a lot of talk about leaks in the Trump administration, complaints about leaks, but nobody charged with anything until yesterday when the government arrested a 25-year-old government contractor by the name of Reality Lee Winner from the hometown.
She's Reality Winner.
Reality Winner.
She's
yes.
Reality Winner. How
yes.
great is that as a name, Reality Winner?
And
come on.
Within it, she's charged with...
Augusta, Georgia.
Yes, she's from Augusta, which is... Yeah. The best part about this story is you didn't really care about any of the
Augusta,
details.
Georgia.
The fact that she was
Augusta,
from Georgia. Apparently, there were some documents about the Russians trying to hack into the election system or something like that last fall. And so she took these documents, copied them, and then sent them to...
A website
called Intercept. And then the Intercept... called to verify that these were accurate, and that's when the government said, well, let's try and track this down. They narrowed it down to a very short list of people, and from that they were able to determine that it was Miss Winner, and she fully confessed to the crime.
And by the way, and her mother described her as very scared. Well, yes.
Yeah, sure.
Well,
yeah.
Yes. I mean, what are you doing? What are you doing? But it also puts the lie to, I mean, you know, NBC trumpets the Megyn Kelly Putin interview, and she asks them, time and time and time again, and he says, no, we don't know, no, no. And this is, of course, he's lying.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just lying. So there's, what's the point of having him on? You know?
It was a good get.
Yeah. Did you think it was a good get? Do you think people watched?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, good. I think she did
all
a good right. job.
Well, we want to say congratulations, Mr. Tony, to Pamela Brown, who has sat in with us.
Yes, we like Pamela Brown.
Yes. Daughter of Phyllis George.
She had a dad, John Y. Brown.
John Y. Brown, yes.
Owned the Celtics at one point.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yes, he owned the Celtics.
Was he the governor of Kentucky?
Yes, he owned the Kentucky Colonels in the ABA. He owned the Boston Celtics for a while. He was the governor of the Commonwealth of Kentucky. Very accomplished guy, John Y. Brown, and Phyllis George, former
Miss America. And a nice guy, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And she was lovely.
She is lovely.
I shouldn't say was. Yeah. Is lovely. And married Adam Wright, 36.
We don't care about that. But the nicest part of it was it was at her childhood home, apparently, in Kentucky, which they no longer own. But they had the bugler blow the call to the post. That's so great.
That's great.
That's better than an airplane.
You know.
You have the bugler call the post and it's okay, we're having the wedding. 10 minutes. Get out on the track, walk around, and the wedding.
But let's not sleep on the airplane. The airplane was great.
Yeah, and we do like Pamela Brown. She sat with us and she was at Channel 7, now she's at CNN.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mr. Tony, I've got tough news for you. I know you've really been hankering to get pet chickens in your backyard and bring them inside and cuddle with them. Well, you don't want to do that because
CDC
is saying that really is linked to all these salmonella outbreaks in the country.
Do you know how lucky we've gotten today? Tory had pet chickens. Did you ever contract salmonella?
Never.
Wait, this was when you were a kid in Pittsburgh?
No, it was right up the street.
Oh, it's like recent? Because your dad, who's a doctor, would never have let you have a chicken.
Oh, we had all sorts of birds and critters when we grew up. No, son Colin decided his sixth or seventh grade science experiment was going to be testing different temperatures on hatching eggs.
Right.
And that was a disaster. Disaster.
A lot of
12
vomits,
eggs.
There's a
certain person to whom I related by marriage who wouldn't buy the automatic turner. So the whole family had to chip in for a few weeks to turn the eggs.
Well, come on. That you were all involved in the experiment.
Nothing happened.
Family
hatched.
Bonding.
And then
nothing?
Well, not
were they eaten by squirrels?
No, they were down in the basement. And then one finally did hatch, and he was named Lucky because he was the only one out of 12 that hatched.
Right, of course.
Then the dog ate him.
Oh, God. And did the dog get salmonella?
No, he did not. No, and then our daughter, Devin, decides that Colin was completely distraught by this. He was not at all distraught. That she insists, it was in the springtime, and she insists we buy some baby chicks for him. Right? And they were six for a dollar.
Of course, why not?
Six for a dollar, and they would not let you buy fewer than six. I said, I want one. I'll give you a dollar, but I want one. No, you take six. And we
just
raised
buy peeps.
Them. Right, we raised
buy marshmallow peeps.
Exactly.
And try to convince your children it's real.
I same fail. Thing.
Yeah. So we raised them in our side yard, and our babysitter at the time, Monica, built a coop for them. They
did
lived
she
on
get
the
salmonella?
Porch. She did not. They were huge. They were Rhode Island red chickens. They got to be about a foot tall.
What did you do with them?
And they were lovely. They were there for
you
several months.
Them.
And then we gave three to Monica. I think they were part of, you know, some nice chicken fricassee.
Right.
And three went to a farm out in Virginia.
A rabbit farm, right? Where they could chase the rabbits all day.
But we had them for quite some time. And you, at the time, I don't know what the rules are now, you had your chickens had to be 100 feet away from anybody else. And ours were 100 feet away.
Yes.
It's like bringing a little bit of West Virginia to Wisconsin
Avenue. They were lovely. I'd go out in the morning and they'd go, they'd come over and get the food.
Were they friendly?
Very friendly. Kids would not touch the eggs. They found the eggs just appalling.
Right.
They wanted.
Did they lay eggs every day?
Yeah.
Did you use the eggs?
We used them, but the kids would not go near them.
Why?
Because
those are the freshest eggs.
They looked at these fuzzy, fluffy chickens and just thought, that's just horrifying. And they would immediately walk to the refrigerator to a white plastic box and pull out a bleached white egg and happily eat that.
Tremendous mistake.
But no salmonella.
And by the way, this is the most shocking thing from this story to me. A proposed ban on backyard flocks in Washington.
I didn't know there were that many.
Was recently scrapped after passionate opposition from chicken owners, supporters, and some city council members.
Mm-hmm. Here?
I mean, yes, apparently there's a huge lobby saying we've got to have chicken. But if you have chickens in your backyard, do not pet them, especially if you're elderly, and do not bring them in your house. Yes, you should stay away from them.
I fail to see how anybody is surprised that farm animals would bring disease into your home. That's
stunning.
When you go to another country, they ask... Have you been on a farm while you've been away?
Have you touched
livestock? Right, exactly. Are you carrying chickens?
And whatever you do,
they ask for a reason.
Don't put bats and monkeys and chickens in the same room together.
No.
That will be the death of
mankind. What is
the
question?
Nigel might know the answer to this question. Why is it called salmonella?
Oh, I do know this.
I don't know. Does it have anything to do with salmon?
Salmon?
Ella Fitzgerald and salmon? Am I close? What is it?
Because in the 1890s, 1900s, there was a fellow named Dr. Daniel Salmon, S-A-L-M-O-N,
right,
who happened to have the first veterinary license in the United States. He happened to have worked at what became Food and Drug Administration, and he discovered the bug that causes food poisoning. So it was named after him.
That's fantastic.
If you came to a certain 25th anniversary party, you could see the house that he built just a few blocks up the road.
That is so tempting, but you don't really want me.
We really invited you.
You don't really want me. What else do you have for news?
J. Crew apparently is in hitting tough times. Mickey Drexler, the longtime chief of the J. Crew group, is going to hand the reins over to somebody else to run the company.
So I thought the J. Crew was for young kids. And Michael laughed at me today. You said it's for people in their 40s and 50s.
Yeah.
Which is
I would say 30s and
me.
40s. I think it takes that mid-90s audience that it had and it carried them forward. What I was shocked to see is they carry other brands in their store. They would carry Brooks Brothers shirts. They would carry Sperry shoes.
Why?
And I did not know. Maybe that was just a way to get people in the door. But to me, that was a sign of the times.
I don't own anything. I have Johnny O. I don't own any J. Crew. But I thought J. Crew was a big brand
that was
making a lot of money.
Yeah, but I mean, at some point, you have to play to the rising demographic. I mean, I'm not going to buy that many new clothes from J. Crew over and over and over and over. I'm kind of done. I'm kind of.
I've got my clothes.
You got three polos? You got a couple, pairs of khakis?
Yeah, I'm done. And I get a couple Johnny O shirts when I come in here.
Like, yeah, it's good.
Works out great.
All right. What else?
Hank Williams is back with Monday Night Football.
Yeah,
yes, he's going to have a new theme.
I guess he's been forgiven for
he made some
intemperate political comments.
Yes, about President Obama. Yeah. But he will be back with a new Monday Night theme with the incorporating the Are You Ready for Some Football?
Well, yeah. Well, why a new one? Why wouldn't you have the old one that
people
like?
The old one.
If you're going for the nostalgic ring here,
right.
You do
the
old one.
Yeah,
that's what you do. You can have other players from other bands join you, but why would you create? Are you sure they're creating a new song?
ESPN says a new version of Williams' longtime
Eminem. Well, a new version.
Well,
okay. Well, that's we assume it's the same song.
It's got to be the same song.
No, we assume it's the same song.
A slight variation on it.
I met Hank Williams Jr. He's pleasant. He sat in the booth. He sat in the booth for a little while. He was pleasant. Yeah, he was pleasant. I mean, he wouldn't remember me. I remember him.
How old?
Hank Williams Jr.'s got to be in his 70s.
Got to be.
I'm going to say 75. He's got to be 75.
I don't have an age in this story.
Can you Google him? Yes. Do you know how to Google?
I got this.
Yeah. All right, is that it? Okay. Is that where we're done
very
with
newsy, Nigel.
That's it. I mean,
very
I did have a story today about someone taking a bite into an Arby's sandwich and there was a bolt in it. Do you want to hear about that?
Whoa. Sure.
All right, well, there was a police officer.
Because if people like it, we'll put them in the hamburgers.
Apparently, a police officer in Birmingham was working the night shift.
Birmingham, Alabama, or yes, Birmingham, England?
Birmingham, Alabama.
Okay.
And Sergeant Patrick Cosby said, went to Arby's, got a roast beef sandwich, took a bite into it.
Ouch.
And there was this big metal bolt. I've seen a picture of it. It's not something you would sort of easily miss as you were putting the sandwich together. He immediately thought, well, I'm a police officer.
Someone's trying to kill me.
So they're targeting me.
Yes.
And
I would have thought that too.
Managers at the Arby were like, actually, what we think is there was a malfunction in the meat cutting machine, and somehow it wound up in there. And the police officer was
holy
like,
"Holy cow!"
Well, even if that's the case, then you have gross negligence. Yes. Either way, you guys are in trouble.
Come to Chatter.
There's bolt-free sandwiches.
Absolutely,
Hank Williams Jr., 68.
There you go.
Wow, young.
I thought he was older than that.
Shopping at J. Crew.
Okay, surprised at that. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Old Guy Radio. Yes,
that's right.
Old Guy. When we return, I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show. The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is a Movement ad. Movement watches, and you'll see that it's pronounced Movement, but it's actually MVMT watches. Was founded on the belief that style shouldn't break the bank. The watchmaker's goal is to change the way consumers think about fashion by offering high-quality, minimalist products at revolutionary prices. With over 1 million watches sold to customers in 150-plus countries around the world. That's a lot of countries. I wonder if they're in Palau. Movement Watches has solidified itself as, I met the ambassador to Palau.
You did.
Has solidified itself as the world's fastest-growing watch company. In fact, I mean, if we could send some Movement Watches to Palau, there's only 20,000 people in Palau. I think everybody would be really happy. Michael, do you have one of these? Or Chris has one of these? Your sister has one of these.
We got one for my sister, yes.
And she likes it.
She loves it
a lot. Movement watches started just $95, and at a department store, you're looking at $400 to $500. Movement figured out that by selling online, they were able to cut out the middleman and the retail markup and provide the best possible price. It's classic design, quality construction, and styled minimalism. Again, over 1 million watches sold. You can get 15% off today with free shipping and free returns by going to mvmt.com/Tony. The word Tony is now in virtually everything that we do in this show. That's mvmt.com/Tony. The watch has a really clean design, and it is time for you to step up your watch game. They make great gifts, whether you're celebrating a graduate or your dad, and that's a hint for Father's Day. Movement is the perfect place to shop. Go to mvmt.com/Tony and join the movement.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Old Guy Radio for the day. These are the Dixie Cups. 53 years ago, Chapel of Love was the number one record in the country. In terms of critical commentary, this is one of the most wonderful, simple, pleasant, optimistic songs ever. Who doesn't like this song?
We're playing it Friday night.
Fantastic.
Over and over again.
Everybody likes this song. You can memorize it. Everybody can sing along. It's great.
And here's an interesting fact about this song.
Yes.
Written in part by Phil Spector, but not produced by him.
Wow.
Produced in part by Jerry Lieber and Mike Stoller.
Okay.
Which is the reverse of how you would expect it.
Yes.
And then later, Phil Spector produced it for the Ronettes, who recorded
it. But Phil Spector wrote songs. Phil Spector's first song was To Know Him Is to Love Him.
Oh, it's a great
and it was
song.
A number one song when Phil Spector,
the teddy bears,
long
right?
before he killed anyone. We think, to our knowledge. To our knowledge. Okay, so there's a bunch of things to talk about. Barry wrote a great piece yesterday on Tim Tebow. You went to Hagerstown.
Yep.
That's single A, isn't it?
Low single A, yeah.
I mean, so we were talking yesterday about the fact that we all like Tim Tebow. We all root for Tim Tebow. But we wondered, what's he doing? I mean, he's 7, 8, 9 years older than anybody who's there. He can't realistically think he's going to make the majors because it doesn't look like he's going. Maybe he gets a call up or something like that by the Mets. But how did you find him in the low minors? How was he coping with this, and what were his plans?
Well, I mean, there's a couple things. One, he has to be the first player in the history of the South Atlantic League to have a media policy. And his media policy is, I speak once the series on the road, and that's that one time was Friday, and I went on Sunday. So I did not speak to Tim Tebow. Now, I do feel like that helped inform me about some things because it got me to talk to, I mean, an amazing number of fans who were there wearing Tebow gear, Florida Tebow gear, Broncos Tebow gear, Jets Tebow gear, and even Columbia Fireflies Tebow gear.
Is that his team, the Columbia Fireflies?
They're the Columbia South Carolina Fireflies of the South Atlantic League, the low A affiliate of the New York Mets. So what you find two things. I got there early. Here's a 29-year-old left fielder hitting eighth in the lineup, batting .219 coming into the game, and he's going out to the cage and beyond the left field wall at this dingy 87-year-old ballpark in Hagerstown, Maryland.
Almost as old as I am.
To take flips. You threw out the first pitch at the opening of that park, didn't you?
Yeah.
So he's taking flips from a coach like you would and trying to, and he's really kind of locking in mechanically before the game, and you can see him working on this craft in view of no one other than me and his bodyguard, who he has with him, because apparently security is an issue, not so much at the ballpark, even though this bodyguard walked out to down the left field line every time he took his position in left field and then walked back to the dugout when he came back. It's the hotels and restaurants. This guy, and I don't think I appreciated this before Sunday, it's not a, you don't want to call it a cult-like figure, but he has a following that is so beyond sports. And I saw him interact with these special needs kids afterwards that, I mean, it's an amazing, amazing impact he has on it's almost like his followers. It's an amazing.
What is the long game here for him?
I'm not sure.
I mean, his teammates, nobody thinks he's going to make the majors.
So I think the long game is a message. And I think the message is if you want to do something, if you believe something will improve your life, if you have a dream, there's no problem pursuing it. I think that's what
doesn't mean you'll get it, but
no,
you can go pursue it.
Right, exactly. And so you know, he doesn't need to do this. He is, in fact, going to go back and be a college football analyst on ESPN. People think he's good at that. I was just, maybe I was naive about it, but I was surprised at the number of people who admire this pursuit and in fact, are inspired by it.
When Michael Jordan did this, famously in Birmingham, Alabama, he bought the team bus.
Right.
Because he wanted to ride on a better bus than they were riding on. Has Tebow done anything like that?
Well, you know, I actually don't know, but I did notice that the Columbia bus had some sort of religious message on it. And I thought, you know, it's got to be, you know, and obviously his Christian faith is a huge part of this. And spreading that is a huge part of almost anything he does. But again, he was doing some of the interaction he had. There weren't, you know, tons of cameras there. It felt to me very genuine that anybody who thinks that this kind of pursuit is, oh, it's taking the job away from some kid.
Oh,
who's,
stop.
Come on.
You're single A.
Yeah, exactly.
Stop it.
Exactly.
I wonder how the manager feels. Is the manager happy to have him, or would the manager say, what are we doing?
You know, you're probably not going to catch him in, if he feels like, we shouldn't be doing this and this is a circus, I would say two things. One, it seems to me the way that Tebow handles himself.
It's not a circus for him.
Yeah, exactly. He would kind of ingratiate himself by the way that he handles the whole thing. And honestly, you know, he's got to have some sort of positive impact on his teammates. So it's, you know, it's a manageable situation.
I met him twice. I didn't want to like him as much as I liked him.
I
really liked him. He is so pleasant. He's great looking. I think
Saliza
said this yesterday. If he was built like Tebow, he'd always have his shirt off. But everybody would. I mean, he's a big kid. And
strapping.
He's very nice.
I think what you're saying is exactly right. You go there and you're a cynical newspaper person.
That's what you do.
And then you start talking to people about their feelings about the guy, and you have to be kind of a jerk to be like, you know, come away thinking that the guy isn't doing some sort of good.
Do you have thoughts on Tebow?
Love Tebow. Many years ago, it was the night before he was going to win. It turned out he was going to win the Heisman. We take our kids to see Lion King, and two of our kids happened to be sitting next to Tim Tebow in the audience.
How does this life happen to you? On a day when we talk about chickens and Tebow, you have firsthand information?
Both. My life full of flotsam and jetsam. And my son Colin, who was maybe 8 at the time, was just terrified, right? And Tebow was incredibly nice to him. Like, would turn to him, ask him, what'd you think about that? And, you know, fist pumping him, stuff like that. He was delightful.
He seems to be.
I mean, he went into this group of 36 special needs kids down the right field line, who he has this night. It's essentially a prom for special needs kids, and he's interacting with them. All the other guys are showering, and they've got a 7.5-hour bus ride ahead of them to South Carolina. And before he leaves, it's not like he's looking at his watch. He said, "Well, before I have to go, can I get some big hugs?" And these kids are just like, they're never going to forget that. So you tell me that that's fraudulent or fake, or he's doing something he shouldn't be doing.
He's an adult who has known the absolute height of sports in America.
Correct.
There's no question about that. And he's on these bus trips. They're awful.
Right.
They're just awful. And he's with a bunch of kids who just...
And he could be jaded by the way his NFL career ended, and it just doesn't appear that
good
he is.
Good for him.
Interesting.
Tim Tebow, Columbia Fireflies, is that the name of the team?
That's the team.
T-shirt would be a really nice
thing to send to the show. They're great. Number 15. They look great.
He still wears 15.
He wears 15,
Is anybody here, by the way, interested in the Bill Cosby? I don't want to...
No.
Let's pass on it.
Just sad and disturbing.
How about the Harvard story?
Yeah.
The Facebook messaging group was at one point titled, I'm reading from the story, Harvard Memes for Horny Bourgeois Teens. It began when 100 members of Harvard College's incoming, they're still not a university, incoming freshman class contacted each other through the university's official 2021, class of 2021 Facebook group. They created a messaging group where students could share memes. Memes are what, Michael? What are memes?
I don't actually know the definition of a meme. I think it's just a photo or a moving picture with like a clever phrase or a saying.
But it becomes your thing?
It's like I can't say that word.
It's a humorous image, video, piece of text, etc. that is copied, often with slight variation.
So this is a
growing
trend on the internet among students at elite colleges. I would suggest at all colleges to stop it. But then... The exchanges took a dark turn, according to an article published in the Harvard Crimson on Sunday. Some of the group's members decided to form an offshoot group in which students could share obscene R-rated memes, a student told the Crimson. The founders of the messaging group demanded that the students post provocative memes in the main group chat to gain admittance to the smaller group. The students in the spinoff group exchanged memes and images mocking sexual assault, the Holocaust, and the deaths of children. Sometimes directing jokes at specific ethnic or racial groups, the Crimson reported. One message called the hypothetical hanging of a Mexican child pinata time, while other messages quipped that abusing children was sexually arousing, according to images of the chat described by the Crimson. And they're gone. They're
done.
Out.
Done.
They're booted from Harvard. And we think what?
We think that's appropriate.
Yes.
I mean, you have to take responsibility for your actions, even, you know, if they're... I mean, they're not hiding behind a... a wall here. That's disgusting.
Yeah. By the way, I just want to point out that a woman jogging by looked over us and yelled out, "La cheesery."
Is that just happened just now?
I just want to say
that's wonderful.
Sort of girl. Entirely appropriate. I print out the story, staple it to my kids' foreheads because I tell them every day, "Don't whatever you do in any capacity with your phones, your
stays
laptops,
you etc.,
it stays with you forever." But isn't there some bizarre, weird karma thing to this because Facebook started
at Harvard? Mark Zuckerberg.
At Harvard, right?
Yeah. I mean, this is. I think it's right. I think a lot of schools have probably done this.
Absolutely.
To this point already.
I think most schools, and I think even with the case of kids admitted to Harvard, they are told, here's your letter of acceptance. We still will be checking things, viewing things, and if there is any behavior activity. So that it's not as though they didn't know.
Right,
I'm sure there will be some losses.
Well, I think they probably say that at every school, but Harvard has the ability to follow through on that more than others because they have... They have the interest and they have the reputation to fill those spots and to be vigilant in following up to make sure that the integrity of their new students matches what they want. And this is a story because it's at Harvard. I think it's an entirely appropriate response. I think it's very sad, particularly at these highly competitive universities. You have kids who are trying to show their value and their worth, and they're misplacing that in this competition to see who can be the most vulgar or the funniest or the most sarcastic something. And some of these kids, while they're brilliant, while they can get into Harvard, developmentally they might not be mature enough. They might not have the ability to separate how that translates into something that's going to stay with them online. And yes, it is appropriate, but it's also terribly sad for those kids. And right now there's this culture that once you get into college, everything's set, and kids don't understand. And sometimes they need an older voice in their life that says, sometimes you can get that admission revoked.
I love that's having happened an to me, old,
so
old
I know
voice
how that works. I mean, and it, in this era, as you're saying, Tori, with the internet, it disappears from sight, but it's still there.
Right.
Someone can find it. You can always look
and
that stuff
up. And
if
you shared it with someone, right? That person can do something with
forever.
It as well.
Right. Right. Send it out to 10 million other people.
Sure.
On the other hand, there's 21 openings at Harvard.
But Harvard doesn't need these kids. Right. Those 21 spots will be filled by 21 brilliant kids.
That's
right.
Yeah. That's right. You know, but I'm just saying if you were waitlisted, you got a shot now.
Yep. That's
you know,
right.
That all of that stuff happens. What else? Do we have anything else of import?
No.
I don't think so.
Don't think so.
All right, so we'll take a break and we will come back with jingles, right? A brand new jingle.
Yes,
and some
right.
email. Are we playing Jerry Negrelli's in the audience?
I did not have a Jerry Negrelli. I have a Joe Arrow about chatter, which
okay.
I thought was appropriate
nice.
For today.
Okay, that's good. Yes. All right, so we'll take a break. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Come to chatter with me to see an old bald orange man begging for stuff that's free, things that he won't purchase for himself. Cash flow's not fine. Why he's gotta buy a sign?
Just great.
Come to chatter with me, and we could have some breakfast. There's a podcast to see, and if you feel sick, there's a doctor there down in D.C. It's live.
Joe Arrow with a fabulous
that's great.
Parody of Breads. It don't matter to me. That's just great. Before we get into the mailbag, I want to say thanks to Bill Livingston of the Cleveland Plain Dealer for coming on the show today. I'd also like to thank our sponsors, Movement Watches and SeatGeek. Please support them the way they support our podcast. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of the Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. And if you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. And if you're here, by the way, and you like the food, leave us a review on what are those sites that you leave reviews
Yelp?
On? No, what's...
Yelp.
Yelp? Leave
One
us
of
something
them.
Positive. Yeah. From Pillar Burton, who writes, a friend of mine is the announcer at the Shorebirds game in Salisbury, Maryland. He told us all that Tim Tebow actually spent over an hour after the game signing autographs and taking pictures. The game was very crowded with his bands advertising he would be there. The minor league stadiums must love this guy. He's a crowd pleaser. What more could you want from a ball player? Well, maybe some real baseball skills or perhaps a La Cheesery shout out.
That's rough.
P.S.
That
don't is. Tell my boss I'm listening at work. From Corey Schuster in Arlington, Virginia, a friend of mine who works down the hall, Brian Van, reported to me that he and another of our colleagues, Norm, were paired with you and Michael during a round of golf on Friday. Brian texted a picture of the foursome and claimed that the bald orange man is you. Norm told me a slightly different account. He sent the exact same photo, but he said he had a great time playing with that dude, Toby, from the West Wing. Can you resolve this inconsistency? If it's you, please ask Brian if he wants to meet for lunch on Thursday at the Union Station, Chopped. Otherwise, you know Richard Schiff's email so I could arrange lunch through his podcast. We had a very nice time. You played well. Brian was a little.
I did. Brian, a lot of potential off the tee, wide misses.
He hit it deep. Howie Flaxman. We had this thing about Howie yesterday from Morocco. I went to school
with him. That's right, yes.
One of your loyal listeners forwarded me a clip from your podcast checking on some info I gave his wife during a trip to Morocco that we knew each other in days of old. I've admired your success with both awe and amazement. Bingham Hall's most famous resident. I'm recently retired from practicing law in Philadelphia. My brother lives in Nome, Alaska, and is married to an Eskimo. A long story. Continued success. Give the Eagles a break this year.
Big Alaska Day.
Yeah, it's very, because Tim Scott was from Alaska.
That's right.
Bobby Gottfried, as I'm sure you know, yesterday was the U.S. Open qualifier at Woodmont, my home course. Sam Ryder not only won the qualifier going away, but set a new course record with 62 on the North. The North is the harder course with 11 birdies and a single bogey. Having played that course many times, I'm proud to say I've equaled that feat, although I think mine is more impressive as I only needed 12 holes to do it. North is 3-4 holes tougher than South, right, Michael?
Easily, especially after the redesign.
It's hard. From Lauren Ram in San Diego, just emailing you and the gang to give you an update that my younger brother did indeed propose to his now fiance in D.C. However, he happened to pop the question in their small, dimly lit Airbnb in DuPont Circle, as opposed to any of the beautiful, historical, memorable monuments and museums they visit. Given the option, I'm sure my soon-to-be sister-in-law would have actually preferred a chatter proposal.
Yeah.
From Lyle Silver, grab some tissues and prepare to shed a few tears of joy. June is wedding month on the Hallmark Channel. Oh, here are a couple of their offerings. Destination Wedding. Ooh. Ellie has been planning her sister's wedding. She is excited as guests begin to arrive until one of them turns out to be, wait for it, her ex-boyfriend, Greg. I think we know how that's going to turn out. How about The Perfect Bride? Fitness instructor Molly runs a bridal boot camp, helping brides get in shape for their big day. Things get complicated when she meets Nick, wait for it, the fiancé of one of her new recruits. Watch the sparks fly.
And by the way, I want to announce I'm almost done with the script, Love Lost and Found at the Gazebo.
Fantastic. Steve Sigourney in Big Sky, Montana. I happened upon the Nats game in the top of the ninth last night. With the Nats up 2, I figured I'd watch to see if the bullpen was as awful as you say. Dusty sent out Jason Duffner in the bottom of the ninth, and despite losing his Vineyard Vines physique, he swiftly got 2 outs, and I went to bed. I see this morning Nats win, so what's the issue with the bullpen? That was Fat Matt?
Fat Matt.
Yeah, good for him. Mike from Burke, Virginia, who is cynical beyond words and very, very funny. I can understand why Crystal Liz is rooting for Tim Tebow. Tebow is in way over his head, proving day by day he just can't do what he's trying to do. So Liz can relate. From Kevin Koski in Southeast. Yesterday, Tommy Kieron was on the local radio news telling me if I liked sunshine, I'd have to wait until late into the week, Friday or Saturday. Woke up today, looked out the window. I think Parveen is now actively giving him bad intel. And Andrew Stein, who writes, greetings from the Holy Land, Dr. Tony, is a longtime Little with close to 10 years of restaurant management experience, including a one-of-a-kind internship under the guidance of Stephen Starr, who has great restaurants in Philadelphia and other places. I especially enjoyed the audio tour of Chatter at the beginning of Monday's episode. Many may have thought that noise was the toilet flushing, but only a trained ear such as my own would recognize that noise is the bartender refilling the ice. Anyway, yes. We Jerusalem Littles, there are quite a number of us, would be happy to host you in the city where another old orange man recently walked and grant you an honorary ordainment as Rabbi Dr. Kornheiser. The other old orange man, of course, the President of the United States. Thank you for the daily entertainment. If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
If I wish one of your guys had children, if I could kick them in the head or stomp on their testicles before you could feel my pain, because that's the pain I have, waking up every day.
Got my gear, double humbuckers and strings. Dirty, filthy drunken and a couple of guys insane. A homemade painted trailer, guitar cases and dents in the proper amount of discouragement. Playing for no money, there's worse things you can do. playing for no money. Sometimes it's what you gotta do. Playing for no money. Things you can do. Playing for no money. Sometimes it's what you gotta do. Speakers are too heavy. Nobody's doing sound. The drummer might be missing, but he's somewhere around. My amplifier is buzzing. Bartender's on the make. I think he's selling cocaine. Hope I get my take. Playing for no money. There's worse things you can do. Playing for no money. Probably just get a singing job.